Tonight, going back into the 14th chapter of Romans, and we left off in the 13th verse. And praise God, this chapter has, the Holy Ghost has made it very, very clear. Love your brother. When you love your brother, praise God, we prefer the other even before self. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, this precious 14th going on into the 15th chapter, I mean, we're ready to hit into a verse that says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Huh? I'll tell you one thing, without love shed abroad in your heart, you ain't even getting near that. You can know a lot of truth, but I'll tell you what, you're talking about abounding in hope through that precious power of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of, I'll tell you, Christ's love alive, fervently, working, divinely, being poured in and out of your life. Praise God. There's faith building there. There's powerful working faith, praise God, in a life like that. But we left off with, don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in your brother's way. Brothers and sisters, if we sense that things in our life that we have liberty for are beginning to aggravate or hurt, provoke a brother who does not have a faith for some similar thing, stop. Stop. Don't mow him over. Don't force it upon him. If we really love one another, we want to edify. Amen? We want to encourage one another spiritually. We don't want to get out our, well, look at my strong faith truck and just run you right over. That's not what this love is about. We're not here to tear one another down. As the Word of God has encouraged us, yes, all things are lawful for us, but all things are not expedient or beneficial. And we need to understand these things. And mature sons know this. Mature sons love in wisdom. They love with the very mind of Christ. And I thank God for this encouragement so divinely of this Philadelphia love that will permeate and just flow out of the life of a full overcomer saint. And thanks be to God for this, that, you know, that Romans didn't end earlier, that there is a fullness of this love that comes forth and bubbles out of a life that truly the Spirit takes control of. And yes, it's wonderful to see the things that God has in store for us, to rule and to reign jointly with Him, to be glorified together with Him, and all these things. But brothers and sisters, it's because she is His wife. She loves like he does. They're in love with one another, and there is that absolute perfect love that is flowing in and out of that precious life that's like a teeming sea of Galilee. Praise be to God. But let's go ahead and read verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. That's a good thing to be persuaded by. That there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now again, this is not speaking of sin. Sin is sin. Okay? Don't try to go justifying sin. Well, see, I'm okay to do that. No, that's not who Christ is in you. That's not what he would have you partaking in. But this again is speaking of strong faith for liberty, for the things that we can partake in and not have a convicted heart, in a sense, that's that gets hurt in fellowship with the Lord. And God is faithful, brothers and sisters, and we know this, to convict our hearts as to what is profitable for our life and what is not profitable for our life. We know these things because God so loves us, not because we're anything great, but because He sure is. And He sure is a loving Father. And praise God for the life of Christ that lives in us, and thank Him so much for the Holy Ghost that leads our lives as we yield to that leading. But anything, what this is saying, anything that would be unclean to me, no matter how much it doesn't affect you. You might be able to partake in it. You might be just fine. You may be able to give God thanks and glory for it. But if it's unclean to me, if it's still affecting me, if I try to go that way, it's going to be a stumbling to me. And I had better recognize that for my life. I've seen things, even in my life, that God had shown me that I thought, well, I've just got liberty for that. It's a nothing. But I'll tell you what, God showed me that it sure was something to my life. And God showed me that, son, you don't have. I have not given you liberty for that. And thank the Lord for that precious conviction that there was something that was drawing me that was defeating in my life that maybe to another brother or sister it wasn't. And then in loving our brother or sister, we need to sense that these things for their life too. Not that we're, again, there's no judgment here or anything of that nature. But if I know that my liberty, again, is infringing upon you or it hurting you in some way, shape, or form, and especially sometimes when we're a teacher or a pastor or things of that nature, you know, God help us to truly understand these things that people might just say, well, you know, I'm just close to you, so I'm just going to go ahead and go with it. Brothers and sisters, we need to be in prayer. We do not want to stumble one another. We don't want to hurt one another. And I thank God for that great love that he has given us. Now 15 and 16. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, not lovingly. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. These liberties are wonderful things, brothers and sisters. They really are a gift in many respects because of the faith that God has given you. But don't let it be evil spoken of. God has given you such a glory in it. But if you understand that it could hurt somebody, get even a bigger glory in it and be let love reign in that situation. But see, what it's saying here is how destructive it always is in our life when love is not the preeminent thing. When love is not the preeminent thing, brothers and sisters, things go amok. When we get headstrong about our individual lives, somebody says something about the way that I live or I don't live or whatever that may be, and I start to get angry or shut people out or put it back in their face. And that once again is evidence in our lives that we are more in love with ourselves than we truly are loving the body of Christ. Amen? And that is the truth. That is very, very true. And all of us truly know this. It's one thing that is very subtle in defeating God's precious people. And I'm talking about some very seasoned Christians. Sometimes we almost get perched. We're like waiting for somebody to say something about something we do just so I can get set off. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. And you know those ones that can push that button. They usually are sitting on the other side of the church from you. Come on now. This is win him time. This is win him time. And I tell you, nothing is hidden to God. Nothing. He is searching. Man, searching for that true worshiper, that lover. Hallelujah, for his son. And you know, God help us. And again, this is what's so precious about this. This isn't talking about sinless perfection at all. You're already sinlessly perfect, period. Hallelujah. The moment you took Christ as your Savior. This is talking about maturity. Will you grow up? Will you put away the childish things? Your attitude? What you think your principles are so great, or this was ingrained in me and my family, and this is our legacy, or this is my heritage, or this is whatever it is. Lovest thou me more than these? Amen? That's why we need to hear the truth. That's why, by the grace of God, we need to be in the Word of God to always encourage our lives in these things. But see, brothers and sisters, it's great if we have strong faith for things. It's wonderful that we have strong faith for great liberties in our life. But when we cherish our liberties above loving our brethren, we missed it. Amen. For I could have faith to move mountains, but if I do not have love, it profits me nothing. I'll tell you, just let him put it all together. It's all right there. You know, we can try to pick and choose, but we know the greatest of these is love. It's love. It's love. And there's a reason for that love, because he wants us to grow up. Now, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. A lot of people think it is. It's what I do and what I don't do, what I do and what I don't do, what I can do and what I can't do, huh? A lot of my life I was imprisoned by that, because that was just that lie all the time. But here's what it is: righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's that joy. Praise be to God. See, the important thing is, brothers and sisters, and I do impress this upon us tonight, because this is something that the Holy Ghost so hit me with. The important thing, it's not about what our faith allows us in liberties. The importance is not what faith allows us to do. It's about how much does love rule our faith. How much does love rule our faith? Again, the greatest of these is love. All right. Christ-like. This is where we're at again. The Son glory. Growing up into him in all things. The very mind of Christ operating in us. And there's one thing about the mind of Christ. There's one thing about Jesus' mind. It was never on himself. It was never on himself. It wasn't about the things, in a sense, that concerned him personally. His mind was always on the will of the Father. His mind, praise God, was always on love, because God is love. And I thank the Lord that it was what the love of God could do and would do in a life that would receive that love. How powerful. The healing, the transformation, the encouragement. And praise be to God, brothers and sisters, that life lives in us. Amen? And that precious grace, and as he said, the power of his might working effectually in us, even greater things than I did, ye shall do. It's all about the love of God. And how sweet and wonderful that, again, vessels of mercy that magnify his great love to us. So, as we read this verse in verse 17, you notice that the kingdom of God first starts out, it's righteousness. And there is the righteousness, brothers and sisters. It's Christ in you. That's our righteousness. It's his life. Amen? That's why we have all righteousness. It's because of Christ Jesus. He's in us. Now yield to that life. Yield to, praise God, growing up into that life in all things. And as we do, boy, the exalted rank of righteousness, that crown of righteousness that Paul was bestowed, that's what transforms in our life. And I'll tell you what, when that happens in our life, brothers and sisters, when we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we want for them too. Because it's the mind of Christ, it's the love of Christ. That's the very righteousness of God taking over our lives, and praise be to God, growing in that wondrous life of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then when that righteousness grows, when that life of Christ Jesus grows in us, there's no peace like that. That's the peace that follows. It's the peace that passes all understanding. I thank God again for that great rest that he gives us when righteousness reigns. See, there's no strife in peace. Amen? There isn't. Peace is peace. Hallelujah. There's no conflict in peace. There's no issues. You just trust him. You trust the word. You trust that, again, he will perfect that which concerns us. We trust him that we are his workmanship. Not just me individually, but you too. I'm confident to God that, you know what? He loves you just as much as he loves me. He loves all of his children, and he does. He loves them the same with everything that he's got. And I thank the Lord for that. It didn't matter, in a sense, how much love he has for you. It never changes. You can't be separated from it. It's always intense. It's always immense. He's always wanting the best for every single child of God, no matter what they did. He's looking for them to turn to him now. And to grow up into him, and to take everything so freely that he has given us in the life of his son Jesus. And it is God, then, that we realize in that peace that gives the increase. It's God that we realize that applies the chastening. It is God that we realize that judges the hearts of men. And you know what I need to do? Rest. It's called back off and cease from your own works and enter into the rest of God. It's a precious thing. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want ourselves and our brethren to yield to God. You pray for people to yield to God. The Lord will move you. He'll give you a burden for somebody to pray for. But it's never in any type of a harsh judgment. Who are you to judge? You're not. You're there to encourage and to edify. And to, again, be one of the fatherly types that would encourage in love for someone. The potential is all there to grow up into Christ. The potential is already there. The life that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loved me, it's all there. It's not something you got to go shopping for or go get. You've got it. Just yield to what life that he has given you. And thank God for that superabounding life that the superabounding grace works in so that you superabound. And that is where we finally get to when we realize that is that's the joy. That's the joy. That's the joy of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. And we joy in the Holy Ghost. And why again? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You don't have any joy when you're judging. You have no joy when you're critical. I can testify of that. I've done that in my life. There is no joy when you're a critic. There isn't. There's no joy when you grudge. There's no joy when you hold something and don't forgive it. That's not a joy. You might relish in it, but it's demented. Joy is when you're free. Joy is when it's gone. Joy is when you're just thinking about the things above. That's joy. When I'm not tied down by the things of this life. And God has so freely given us all joy because he gave his son. And it's all there. And again, that's why the Holy Ghost is so vitally important, brothers and sisters, because he takes the things of Christ, all the things of Christ, and he makes them yours. It's the Holy Ghost that causes us to grow up into him in all things, that causes us to be able to understand and grow and to know all truth, all of it, all the word. Praise God that, again, it just grows in our life. Because of the Holy Ghost. And what joy that is. I'm not just talking about head knowledge of the Bible. There's a lot of people I do know. And I thank God for what anybody knows in the Word of God. It's wonderful. But it's how much love. Always remember this. The double portion of truth is love. It's truth in love. Without love, you miss the double portion. You missed it. Passed you right by. And there's a joy that comes forth. I don't know. Joy is, you can see it. You can sense it. It radiates. Amen? You don't try to squash it. It's unleashed. It's got to run. Got to go. And that's where I'm thankful to God. You know, it's not us trying to act like something. It's just being free to be a conduit for it to let it come out. Amen? Instead of always kind of tampering it down. Oh, wait a second. I'm starting to feel a joy bubble. Wait. If I didn't walk around with long face, you know, somebody might think I might be joyous. It's the truth. Are you in love or not? Really, are you in love? I mean, you ever love somebody in the natural where, I mean, seriously, maybe you didn't do it in public, but at least in your house, and you just screamed, oh, I'm so in love. It's so awesome. I hurt. My heart's going to blow up. Huh? Ever? If not, you got to go. It's just, you got to go, but that's what it is with the Holy Ghost. That's why when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, usually there's it's a gusher, it's a geyser. It comes forth. I'm not saying it's cookie cutter, but it's called love. And it's great love, and it's love that's just passion. It's the beginning of passion. You don't know why you're crying, but you're crying. Don't know why you're just shaking, but you're shaking. That's the Holy Ghost. All right. So, how wonderful this is, brothers and sisters. And God help us to understand this, that don't forget the love. See, without love, we're incapable of finishing with a full joy, that your joy may be full. Full. And I see him doing that in the saints. Praise God. And I do not want to be ashamed, and I never want to stop being bold to preach to you. Let the Holy Ghost transform your life. Get out of the comfort zone. I mean, I don't like to use things that are cliché, but my goodness, brothers and sisters, grow. Don't think, well, this is my personality. I don't think about what, it's just like thinking about, well, what would Jesus do? If he hasn't already done it, I missed it. He's just performing it because it's his will. You yield to the word of God and he wills and does of his good pleasure in your life. Amen? I don't need to think it through. Well, there you go. Maybe that'll challenge you a little bit tonight. Maybe you're thinking too much. This has got to go. He teaches me that more and more all the time. That's how beautiful. Thank the Lord, the grace that he brought to me, called me into being a pastor. I can honestly say, not even for just even a moment, there was any thought of something I could do. He so divinely gave me grace for this, I can't even express it. Well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? Do you know what to do here? Do you know what? No, I don't, but he does. If he has called me to a place, if he's called you to a place, truly, he will perform it. There's nothing that he won't do. Anything in our lives. Anything. As a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a wife, as a brother, all of those different things. I don't care how much you've mucked it up. If he's called you to it, brothers and sisters, let him perform it. Amen. Amen. How simple if we just would trust God. But see, this is why this full joy, this Holy Ghost needs to be in our life. And an evidence of it is we'll be praying even more fervently for the brethren. Isn't it wonderful to pray for the brethren? Isn't it wonderful to see people growing in the Lord, transforming in the Lord? It's like I say, whether you get an email from somebody you knew or whatever, and here they go, they're going to have a Bible study in their house. And I mean, thanks be to God for that. And the different things you hear about, just the steps of faith that are going forward and praying for people and continuing in prayer and not giving up. Knowing that, you know, if God be for us, who could be against us? That's the love of God shed abroad in our heart. And that love, praise God, really, truly will make you so joyous you just can't contain it. They really, people just, who is that guy? I knew him a long time, but I never saw that guy. Praise the Lord. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, verse 18. Wonderful verse here. For he that in these things serveth Christ, and again this service is submitted to Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. And I love that word acceptable. Do you know that word in the Greek was only penned by the Spirit through Paul? No one else uses that particular interpretation of the word acceptable. And it means well-pleasing. I mean, now we're really getting in bridal time here. This is a well-pleasing to God. And approved of men means pleasing to men, profitable to men. Basically, it even has a meaning there of money. I like that. That's money. Praise God. To God, not just, as they say it, slang to men, but that's on the mark. Praise the Lord. There's a prophet that's coming forward in your life. And that's exactly what this is saying, brothers and sisters, is stay in love. Stay in joy. Flee the bitter. See, that's an appearance of evil. When bitter things start to come out, if you're in circles that are like that, get away from that. Quit being judging. Quit having a critical eye. Because when you have a critical eye, it's on everybody and it's not on the joy. Amen? Think on these things. Meditate on these things. If you want to, you can be as bitter can be. If you want to be hateful, jealous, envious, whatever it may be, it's all there. The enemy's lies, he's got buckets and buckets of them to give to you. But there's one joy, and that's the Word of God. And praise the Lord that we can, by Christ in us, the hope of glory, and yielding to that life, we don't need to be led that way. That love occupies our lives, and man, we're just so in love, we don't notice anything else. And again, I kind of go back to courtship. When you're really in love, you don't think about anything. Kids getting married. Well, how are you going to make a payment on anything? Well, I don't know, but we're in love. It's fun. That's when you know they really, you got something there. We'll get to this point about that, but see, the love's the love. You can't work that up. All that other stuff, yeah, you can figure that out. Because if you love one another, you'll work towards things. Did you know that? When you love one another, you'll try to make as things as nice as possible. Call me a little bit old-fashioned, but, a guy will go out and work. Did I say that? And call me old-fashioned, but a woman might want to even be a keeper of a home. Those are some beautiful things. Most beautiful things there are, because that's what God, he set up and ordained in things. And I know this world is twisted, pulled, and caused lots of different things, sweethearts. And I mean that. I know that for certain. But you trust God in it all. Trust God in it all. Give him the glory for it. I know that sometimes brothers are at home, the sisters are at work, and all of those different things. But don't let this society get you to change places. You may, and God may have ordered this for what a sweet trial in your life. But you take the places in your home. Take the places in your home. That's a real subtle, and I think it's pretty blunt, actually, of one of the devices of the enemy. So, just some things to pray about for one another, huh? But see, love pleases God. And that's what's so wonderful, because love pleases God. And people say, well, it's faith that pleases God. Well, let me tell you something. You never have faith without love. Amen? Because it's faith that worketh by love. So I know that love pleases him. And as the Word of God says, that he's searching right now. He's seeking for the true worshiper. Did you know that? Amen. The true one. Oh, sincere beyond, that worships him in spirit and in truth. And again, I go right back to that word worship. You know what that is. It's drawing nigh in fervent love, passionate love, as to kiss. That's the ones he's looking for. And how is that one that draws nigh in fervent love to kiss him? How is he even doing that? In spirit. Got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And in truth. Amen. How perfect. How beautifully simple. And God just lays the line upon the line upon the line upon the line. And if you'll take that, I'll tell you what, it'll build a masterpiece. Just take it. It'll build a masterpiece. It will be so incredible, stunning. Might people walk by and say, what is that life? What a waste and all that. Not to God. Not to God. Praise his wondrous name. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Sure enough, see? See, spiritual encouragers are mature ones. Ones that encourage spiritually. Ye that are spiritual, restore. All of those different things. Those are spiritual ones. And they're mature that encourage each other. See, children fight and fuss. They do. I go out and I see, so funny, I was at a little restaurant the other day and I saw this. They weren't even more than about 3-4 years old, brother, sister. Poke, 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 poke. And then they, you know, kind of try to settle them down and the poking still goes on and the little one does this. And it just, amazing. And then teenagers, what do they do a lot of time? They just provoke and bully. Hmm? Oh, yeah. And we know that. But then even young men, what I think one of their big things is trying to one-up the other. Hmm? But fully grown virtuous ones, spiritual ones, are looking and wanting nothing but growth in the life of their brother or sister. Amen. Praise God. And thank you, Jesus, the evidence is coming forth. It's true. Praise the Lord. You really want to take up that cross? Deny self. Hmm? Love. You can't say, well, I'm just going to. If you love, it just happens. Love does it. The love of God performs these things in our life. It doesn't, you know, I'm going to deny self. I'm going to go live in a cave. You loved yourself. Because you just wanted to just shut yourself off and show how holy you are. Huh? Right? Hmm? Oh, yeah. Come on. This is what this is getting at. Vessels adding to the usefulness of the husband. That's what a vessel is. And I believe that that's the mark that God has put in our heart. Hallelujah. Verse 20. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. How many times does he have to say this in here? Think of how many times he said this in one way, shape, or form all the way through here. Chapter 15, we're going to hit it again because this is a big thing. This is love. This is the finishing strides. This is it. And, you know, God help us to really take this. This is why these precious verses, and they're not, again, yes, they're verses, but praise be to God. This is the very life of Christ working in us, the Word. It's vital to have this heart if we are really going to win Him. It does matter. It does matter what we impress upon the brethren. It does matter how we possess our vessel among men. It does matter. If we are so consumed with ourselves and uncaring for everyone else, we have veered off course. And I know this because I can testify in my own life that there were times in my life it was, well, this isn't bothering me, so why should it bother you? Hmm? Now, come on. And Lord, help us to truly bend the knee to this. Don't get stiff-necked in it. 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything, listen to this, whereby thy brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Huh? So he took care of all the tech age and anything, didn't he? Hmm? Look at all the devices of the enemy. They've multiplied, haven't they? In a lot of ways. Yes, they have. It's not that I dwell on these things. It's like, oh, what am I offending somebody with? That's not it. The Lord convict your heart. Just be a loving vessel. And you're going to be confronted with these things. And you can be either provoked to love or to irritation. And so then how you respond, you're either going to provoke that brother or sister to love or you're going to provoke them to more anger or more hurt or just belittle them. Well, you have no business telling me that. Hmm? All that liberty. Listen to this, what verse 21 says. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. See, all that liberty is in vain. Huh? All that strong faith went right out the window if it wasn't controlled in love and motivated in love. When we don't prefer our brother and we don't look after his spiritual welfare too. Okay. Now, I want to point out again, brothers and sisters, this is not speaking of, in a sense, doctrine. This isn't talking about rightfully divided truth. You stand in the Word of God. You stand in love. And there's nothing to dispute about rightfully divided truth. There isn't. It is what it is. And praise be to God, we stand, and having done all to stand. If the Word of God offends a brother, praise the Lord, the sword will deal with that. And it will. But again, we stand, we are not moved, because see, that is a tool of the enemy, getting us to compromise. See, this has nothing to do with compromising. This is about liberties of faith we're talking about. Manners of life. Amen. That we know that I can do, it doesn't offend me or affect me in any way, but there might be something in your past, your background, or something of that nature that still is hurting you. That you don't yet have a liberty for, maybe you won't, I don't know, and vice versa. And we need to love beyond that. That isn't something to get bogged down in, because when we do, what happens? We get strife again, don't we? Conflict. We don't love. We get stir irritated. We walk by each other and say, well, I know what that one's thinking of. Huh? How long my hair is? How many piercings I got? I don't know what it is. Huh? God help us to love. Love, love, love. But see, then, you know, the enemy will try to work any angle he can. And say, well, this also pertains maybe to truth. So we offer a menu. I always remember that minister that took me out to lunch after the Lord had first called me into pastoring. This guy said, oh, you got to meet this guy. He wants to meet you, and so encouraged. Well, after the first 5 minutes, I should have just walked out when he was expressing to me how you grow a meeting with numbers. You know, there's the 100 crowd, then you get the 200, 300. When you get to 500, that's a hard benchmark to get by. I'm just sitting there. Okay, why am I here, Lord? Well, he was teaching me some stuff. And then he gave me the secret, besides all of the promotional things. The biggest thing is to itch everybody's ear. He said, well, you know, we have, and this is the truth, they had 29 pastors. 29. And I said, 29 pastors? Why do you have 29 pastors? I mean, you got a big church, but why do you need 29? Well, you know, there's some people that believe in eternal security, and then there's some people that don't. And there's some people, because he knew, he said, well, I know you're a Pentecostal. He said, but there's some people that don't believe in speaking in tongues and all that, so we have to have that one preach to that one and that group to that. But when we all gather together for our main service, we water it down so much. Didn't say that way. But we preach something everybody will take. Good God, good devil, good everybody. That's the truth. And I sat there just like sister is, like this, with my... I didn't know if to scream, horrify, whatever it was. And the guy patted me on the head and said, boy, you really are green in this, aren't you? He said, how do you think we get 3,000 people in a church? Huh? Thank God that you're surprised, because thank the Lord that I almost feel badly telling you about that, but that's what it is. And see how God's protected you? Feed the strong meat. Feed them on the strong meat. Oh, there'll be a lot that'll pass through. Don't want it. But God said that that would be that way. They're not going to endure what? Sound doctrine. You get together on a Wednesday night to hear that? Yep. Because, boy, is it pleasing to God. You talk about faith. Most holy, matter of fact. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Get you into the deep things of God. By His Spirit, How marvelous. How wonderful. But see, that's what happens. And then what happens is people start compromising about things. I remember, and this happened to a relative of mine, and they had somebody they really cared for and loved, and this person was having a hard time. They tarried about receiving the Holy Ghost or whatever, and I don't know exactly the extent of it, but it was quickly then given up, and they found somebody that came to their house and said, "Oh, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll just have your prayer language later on." Go on. Oh, wait, give me a check first. We need to stand. This is not speaking of that. You stand in the truth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In love. But don't give time. Foolish questions, avoid them. Get away from it. Let the Lord lead your life. Just like Paul, he was even geared up to go to certain cities to give the word of God. He was ready. Maybe he even thought he was going to go there, which he did. But God had him pass right by that city and right that by city. Don't waste your time. A lot of times we can even get bogged down with people we love. Oh, I'm going to hold that hand. How many years you been holding the hand? Let go. Let God do it. Let him do it. Not only are you hurting that one, you're hurting yourself. Well, I guess that's a big underlining meddling. I'm growing up as a pastor. Pray for me. All right. So, let's wrap this up in verse 22 and 3. 22. It says there, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he alloweth." Now we know that this faith here, again, is pertaining to liberties, to have it before God. Because we know that when we're talking about faith, believing the scriptures, no, God gives us opportunity to talk about the word of God. You preach the word. So we understand again that this faith we're talking about is not about scriptural faith. This is about faith that's exercised in our lives to have liberty for certain things that we do. Amen. All right? So, in that, how wonderful. You got great faith? Praise be to God. Don't boast about it. Don't try to mow somebody over with it, but keep it between you and God. Be thankful for it. Sure, it's a wonderful thing to be strong in faith. Sure, it's wonderful to have liberties that flow out of your life, all because of the great grace of God. Remember that, all by the grace of God. And what precious fellowship it is with the Lord to know that whom he has made free is free indeed. Yeah, praise the Lord. And we need to pray for one another. I always am thankful when the Lord truly expands the liberties in lives, because I rejoice with them. See how it says, "Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows"? I'm happy for you. Amen? Praise God. And how about being happy for a brother or sister in something that they're not condemned in their life, but you might be? Huh? That's called real growth. That's thanking the Lord for those things. Praise God. And every single one of us, every single one of us has things in our life, and they're all different things, that are absolutely profitable to one brother or sister and not to me, and vice versa. There is not one life that, well, it's I just got every liberty there is. Well, you just showed me right there, you don't. Matter of fact, you're just boasting in yourself. Because obviously, if you really had that, you had kept that between you and God. Huh? See how wonderful the word of God is? Kind of just throws light right on the subject. I know what's going on there. That's called self-righteousness. All right? So see, we keep it between God and ourselves. We're thankful for it again. And again, this is not speaking about in any way about sin, because there is no green light for sin. There just isn't. The Lord said, "Flee the very appearance of evil." But we do treasure the liberties, brothers and sisters, in him, knowing and rejoicing in the realm of grace that we live in. Praise be to God. And finally, verse 23. "And he that doubts is damned if he eat." See, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, it's so big, so huge. Aren't you thankful to God, brothers and sisters, that we're justified? that he that believeth in me cannot sin. I thank the Lord for those things, how he protects us. But what this is getting at is we really need to be honest with ourselves. We do need to be sincere, praise God, before the Lord. We must realize and in sincerity what our limitations are. Amen? Even when we're by ourselves, if we're convicted before the Lord in something, be tender to that. Pay attention. Well, nobody's seeing me. I don't mean to say, yeah, God does see you. And it's not in that hiding again of sinful things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, again, things that are liberties to our life. If we have doubt and conviction in anything, we're not operating in faith. We're not. When we have conviction and doubt about things, we are not operating in faith. And it's actually unbelief, and it's defeat to our lives. Not every child of God, as we wrap this up, just some sweet little specifics here. Not every child of God can drink alcohol. They just can't. And I understand how the Word of God says to all, and I'll let you know this, if you do and you have liberty for it, it's a little. And really underscore that, it's a little. Okay? So pray for one another in that. And we understand, too, there might be certain tendencies and lies for all of these things. And I know we use alcohol a lot of things, but whether it's anger, whether it's, brother and sister, you got to know before the Lord who you are. You have to know those limitations. And in that godly wisdom to remove yourself from things, allow the grace of God to encourage you. You don't want to be led into that temptation. I thank the Lord for the liberty that he has given to me. I do not have a problem in my life to drink a glass of wine. I'm okay with that. But I wouldn't want to hurt anybody with that. Ever, 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 ever. And I know there's some that just don't want to. They don't have any desire to drink any alcohol at all. Praise the Lord. Have faith unto the Lord and thank him for it. You don't need to go questioning in your mind, well, my goodness, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. It's nuts. Just trust the Lord. If he's got you in that place, stay there. And if he has you away from it, stay there. It's wonderful. You know, it's, oh, yeah, but, you know, Mayo Clinic tells me this. Well, wait for 2 weeks and they'll tell you something else. It's good for you. It kills you. It's this. It's that. Whatever. But the same thing, music, sports, travel. Music was pretty obvious. We talked about that a little bit. You know, when things convict your heart for certain thoughts and tendencies and things like that, stop. Pray. Amen. People say, what do you mean about sports? You ever played golf with some of the brothers? I didn't know if it was golf or how far could I throw my club. Huh? You got to know those limitations. Huh? I thank the Lord. You know, he had to give me a real reprieve from golf for a while. Because I really felt, man, I'm going to be really good at this or whatever it was. And it wasn't any fun. It was kind of fun, but was it really fun to lose my temper? Quiet, aren't we? Huh? Lots of things. I mean, it could be basketball. It could be checkers. I don't know what it is. But you better check it. With the Lord, search me, O Lord, if I'm convicted in that, have me back off a little bit, huh? But it's all wonderfully stated as we close it up. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. So trust him. Pray. Be sincere. He's more for you than you could ever be for you. Be sober in those thoughts as he searches you. And it's amazing what peace and rest and joy we find when we live the life that God has given each of us individually. When we live that life, the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. When we tend our own garden, don't try to wear my shoes, and I'm not going to try to wear yours. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.